Hello and welcome to this afternoon's talk, Protect Yourself from Negativity. So very happy to welcome you to this talk, this sharing hosted by the Lighthouse Retreat Center. And this afternoon we've got Nidhi to share with us on this topic, which is of course very pertinent to today's climate, today's activities. And what I'll just start off by pointing out with the Zoom, we have a chat which you can put any questions or comments in. So you just take your cursor to the bottom of the screen. Usually it's there. If you're on an iPad, it'll be something different. Bring your cursor to the bottom, you'll see an icon that says chat, and then you click on that. And then you can put your questions, and by default it will go to everyone. It means everyone will see your comment or question. But if you want a question to just go directly to myself, which I can then ask Nidhi, or directly to Nidhi, then just address Nidhi or myself, which myself means Lighthouse Retreat Center, in the chat box. And the only other thing to be aware of is that on the top right of your screen there is the choice of whether you have speaker view or whether you have gallery view. Gallery view, you can see everyone, although usually you can't see many people. And on speaker view, you will just see the speaker. So, welcome once again. So, a few people have just joined. And the lovely topic, protect yourself from negativity. So, obviously, so much there. In the homes, outside of the homes, around the world, there's an unlimited source of potential negativity. So it might be a bit of a lost cause to try and stop negativity in the world, at least in the short term. But certainly we can do an awful lot to protect ourselves from it. And I think in turn, that becomes an inspiration to others. So when you illustrate as an example how you're not influenced by the negativity, and that's a real inspiration. But that's enough for me because we have all the way over from Wembley. Actually, I'm not quite sure where you are, Nidhi, but I know she's normally based in Wembley. Nidhi is a main helping hand in Wembley Innerspace. Innerspaces are their kind of centers on the high street, you could say. And they do an awful lot of wonderful a service of the community, teaching all different courses, especially meditation, of course, but really do a wonderful task of sustaining people in that vicinity. And of course, like everyone else, online now as well. So Nidhi, I've personally known for quite a few, can't remember now, quite a few years, and she's always so light and cheerful. So you can see her face, smiling and happy. And this is my first chance to introduce her because she's introduced me two or three times when I've gone to Wembley, but now it's my chance to do full justice to introducing Nidhi. She's been practicing spirituality from a very young age because her family adopted a spiritual journey, spiritual lifestyle, when she was very young. So she's been open to these ideas from that age and has really incorporated them into her life. And so she's got a very sweet and loving and cheerful nature, but also a lot of depth and maturity. So wonderful balance. So I think I've done a pretty good job. She's laughing of introducing Sister Nidhi. So I'm going to now pass over to her.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. And really appreciate all what you have said, and I'll try my best to do justice to it. And a very warm welcome to all of you who are here today, and please feel free to have your video on if you want to, so that there can be an interaction, and just be comfortable, whatever suits you the best. So to begin with, let's have a minute of silence, because today's topic, protecting yourself from negativity. When I first understand what protection means, is to be safe, is to be stable, is to be secure. And once I want to start understanding this topic in depth, I would request, let's have one few seconds of the experience of being in that space of security, of safety, and of stability right now. Let us all try together. Can we create that space of stability within ourselves in few seconds? Can we go for it? You can unmute your mics and you can just respond. So if you're ready, shall we do that? Great, thanks, Patrice. Okay, so let's have a minute, just a minute of silence, where we go within and explore. Where my body is stable, calm, and so is my mind. Okay, thank you. Thank you for spending a few moments in stability and taking full ownership of this moment that we were in. So I would request you all, if you could unmute your mics and just share what was your experience of those few seconds, if possible. Is there anyone who would like to share?
Calming.
Okay. Thanks, Emma. Anybody else?
Oh, I think it's right on the topic. Silence.
Yeah.
Sometimes to protect yourself from negativity, silence is a good weapon.
It is. It's a guard. It is guard, yeah. Anybody else? Myra, you want to say something?
Peace,
yeah.
Being loving,
yes, that's right. Okay, can I ask you a very unusual question to begin our topic with? It's out of the context, but have you ever seen ants? Have you got an encounter with ants? You know, when it's quite hot, ants starts popping up and they start making their way. Have you all seen ants?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All of us, right? Very unusual to ask this question right now. But what do you do when there's loads of ants coming into your home and you want to protect yourself from those ants? What have you all tried? Any home remedies? Anything?
I talk to them.
You talk to them, wow, make friends with them.
Yes, I pick them up and put them outside.
Okay.
And ask them to respect my space, and I will respect their space. And very often, they do. The ants in the back of my house do, but I'm still working on the ants at the front.
Okay.
I haven't quite got there yet with them.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a very, very, very deep, practical, and I would say very humanitarian approach, where I am respecting the space of the ant and myself, and also trying to protect myself and to protect them together. And amazing. Anybody else would like to share? What do you do?
I would do a proper cleaning and take away the food that's left and
actually attracted them as well as talking to them.
Okay, so proper cleaning, all sanitizing. That's what we do these days, no? We sanitize everything, we clean everything. That's great. Anybody else? Yeah, yes, Amrit?
Actually, it's not ants, it's the flies. When I work in the kitchen area, I leave the garden door open and sometimes the big flies comes in. And the sound as well. So I tell them, go out. That's the way out. You're not wanted here. And 99 out of 100 times, they do find their way out and go out.
Okay. Okay. That's good. And we're getting some chat messages as well. And I think hope you all can read them.
The sister mentioned about she talks to ant, so made me smile. I talk to flies. It's not abnormal.
Yeah, that's great. I remember what my mom used to tell me when I was a child, because I'm coming from a very hot country, and every summer there would be lots of ants. And we used to mop the floor and do many kinds of fun things. But as a child, she used to give me salt in my hand and tell me to just put salt on the, it was like drawing a line of salt. And amazing, they won't cross those lines, you know, so we would be protected. Yeah. And the reason I'm asking this question about ants, because, can you hear me up well? Am I audible?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, okay. So, you know what ants means in our real, in our life, in our practical life, how I see ants. Ants are nothing but automatic negative thoughts. They come into my mind without my permission. How many of you can relate with that? Automatic negative thoughts, ants. Yeah. And you all know how to deal with them, don't you?
Not the other way.
You talk to them, you kill them, you tell them not wanted, please make your way out, respect my space. We do talk to those ants. Can we find some space and time to talk to our inner ants? And once I have those ants inside my mind, do I create that space to clean my mind? Is there a way, is there a technique where I can have some salt, or where I can open some window, or where I can really have that space, that distance between me and ants, and chat with them, talk to them, make them understand, and just ask them to move out and keep my mind, my space sacred and serene? Possible? Possible? There would be a picture that would come on your screen right now. And I just want you all to observe this picture and just see, what does this image talk to you, speak to you? What does this image? I'm sure those who have registered for this talk, when you went on the website, you must have seen this image there. What is that you can see? And please, if you can unmute yourselves and just whatever is the first thought that comes to your mind, whatever you observe in this picture, just share with me.
Stop.
Okay.
Power.
Yes.
Where is the power?
Kerstin, come on, you need to tidy up and hoover up in here.
Okay.
Yeah, but you need to get a cloth and dust your shelves down.
Excuse me. Joven, I need to empty the bin. Excuse me.
Right, I was gonna clean up in here, that's why I bought the mop.
Is it feeling power?
It's a healing power. There's a healing, there's power both. Okay. What else?
Anger and aggression.
sorry, there's someone's mic is unmuted and they're trying to say something or do something. It's not very clear. Those who want to say, those who want to share can unmute your mics. And those who are just trying to work out themselves can just mute their mics, if possible.
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
It's a force coming on one side. Yeah. Other side, they are trying to resist, stop it.
Yeah, there's force coming on one side, and other side, there is someone who's stopping the force.
Resistance.
I just want you all to observe both the hands. If you see the one with the force, it's very strong, it's very dominant, it's coming with all this aggression, with all this kind of negative energy. But the hand that's stopping, I just want you to observe the hand that's stopping it, protecting it. What's there in that hand?
What do you see?
What else do you see in that hand?
Peace.
There's peace.
Yeah. Control.
There's control. Yeah.
Boundary.
There's boundaries. Yes.
Mommy. Light.
Sorry? Yeah. No, you're going to have to wait. The floor's wet.
What else do you observe in this?
Taran, have you room?
I see light coming from the...
Yes, there's light. And which one is more giving you a comfortable feeling? Which hand gives you more comfortable feeling?
The one on the right.
One on the right. Okay. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for sharing this image. And
also the hand on the left has a lot of, we can see, garbage coming out of it. All the negative energy is full of it. So all the black things, that's what it is shattering. Whereas the one on the right hand is balanced, stable, ready to face.
Exactly. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. That's exactly what today's topic is all about. That if I want to protect myself from negativity, this is all what I need. I don't need to react to anything. I don't need to force anything. I just have to be stable and content with who I am and what I am. So, to protect myself from any kind of negativity, there is a very famous saying that destroy negativity, or to destroy negativity, we need to deal with them when they first appear. And it is when they are weakest. So the moment I am feeling not very comfortable with myself, it means there is something which is not right. And at that moment, I need to create awareness, go within, see what is it that I have created. Because in spirituality, in Raja Yoga, what we learn and what we understand is that no negativity does not exist in life. There's only positivity. Negativity is being created by us. It does not exist. It's created. And I, from my personal experience, got to know this truth when I was in my early teens. I think it was in 2001. And I was in India at that moment, and there was a major earthquake. I don't know if you guys are aware, if you remember those, the biggest earthquake of that time. Many people died, the whole city and the country was shaken by that earthquake. I was in my school at that time, and it was the Republic Day of the nation, and everybody was flag hoisting, and it was a nice time we had. And that was my first encounter with negativity, I would say, that I remember very clearly. And during that earthquake, I wasn't shattered. I wasn't shaken because I had been practicing meditation. So I knew what to be done. I was completely in control. Everything was okay. And after the earthquake, there was a school bus that took us home. When I reached home, by that time, I was still good. There was no fear in me. There was no negativity in me. I was like a child, you know, enjoying even that scene of life at that time. But when I went home and when I saw that my parents were not at home, and when my parents were not at home, and when I went inside and saw that my house was not in the right shape because it was also broken and some parts were not good, still I was okay. But then somebody told me that there might be another earthquake and whatever is left will go, will finish, will get destroyed. And then I thought, I am home. My parents have gone to school to pick me up. I might never see them again. And this thought, when I created, there was like an inch of fear that got created in me. What will happen next? And that's when I experienced what fear is for the first time. And in 2 minutes time, I saw my dad. And then I was like, wow, he's here. Fear was gone. Yeah. And that made me realize that to create fear is also in my hand, and to destroy fear is also in my hands. So negativity is always being created. Somebody can say something to you. Somebody can behave in a way they want to behave. Somebody can do something, or sometimes they cannot do something. You know, when people don't do something, you feel more irritated. Why are they not doing something about it? Mm-hmm. And then we create thoughts in our minds. There's lots of anticipation going. There are lots of thoughts, because from thoughts, feelings created. One thought, will I be able to see my parents, created a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of loss. Now that feeling of loss and emptiness created a behavior of fear. Right? So it all started, it all rooted from that one thought. And that's when I realized that the power of thought has a tremendous impact on the way I live my life, very much. You know? And maybe at that age, I didn't understand it with this clarity that I am speaking today, but that was when I started thinking about it. And today, when I look back and see and understand that what actually happens is the equation that we live our life with. We are conditioned, or we observe, we pick up, we acquire understanding throughout our journey of life, that every time I feel low, every time I feel negative, I feel hurt, I feel offended, I feel something which is not true to myself, which makes me feel uncomfortable, it's always someone else responsible for it. You know, maybe the way somebody said something to me, maybe it was the way they behaved, maybe the scenario, maybe the circumstances. It's always external things that make me feel negative or make me feel hurt. But the truth that we learn in Raja Yoga meditation at Brahma Kumaris in the spiritual university is that things can happen on an external level, but it's me who creates or who allows that thoughts to be created that causes negativity within myself. And when you understand that, the equation changes. Now things are there, but I have a choice. How I deal with those things, how I respond to those things, or do I need to respond to it or not? Sometimes people will come to you. It's not, I mean, when you talk about negativity, there are two kinds of negativity. One is the negativity that I create within myself with external triggers. And the other is negativity, which is actually there out there. And that's affecting me. And say, for example, your friend, that the friend might be feeling very low. They might be in depression. They might be trying to take, drain your energy. They might seek attention. They might want to just need someone to talk to. They might come to you and just offload everything. Now, while they are offloading, it's their job to do. They're feeling comfortable. But what is my role to play in that moment? Two, I observe or I absorb. If I choose to absorb, I feel sympathetic about it. I start feeling their pain. And when the moment I start feeling their pain, I have already started creating damage to my own self. Because now that person has fallen. If I fall, if I also go down, who's going to lift one another? Right? So I've allowed that energy to dwell into me. But if I observe, if I be detached from it, if I guard myself, I'll be able to help. It might not be comfortable for that person because I'm not behaving the way they want me to behave, but it's actually true help. They might realize a few days or months or years later when they become much more stronger. So if I really want to protect myself from negativity, the best example is this day is during lockdown. We are trying to protect ourselves from everything, from everyone around us, right? Even people, those who we know. And what do? Every 10 seconds, every few minutes and hours, we try to wash our hands, you know? And it was very interesting that in our organization, in the building, there are signs, you know, please wash your hands. And it's a wonderful sign. And actually, I learned it just during lockdown period, how to wash your hands. And it says 20 seconds, you wash your hands with soap. And then what was more interesting for me to know was 10 seconds, let it be under water. So it washes off. So 20 seconds, I knew about washing hands, but 10 seconds to keep your hand under the running water was very important. And that's what is the best way to protect your mind. 20 seconds of self-realization. And 10 seconds, allow yourself to be under the influence of that supreme source. If I do that now and then throughout the day, there would be so much cleanliness in my mind. And the other thing is, we shield ourselves, we mask ourselves, social distancing. So am I ready to do a social emotional distancing resources that I am aware of? You know, when you talk about protection, like say, if I want a healthy body, if I want to protect myself from different kinds of flu and viruses and whatever is going on, I need a very strong immune system. And that's why doctors these days say, please have vitamin C and do drink this medicine and this herbs and that herbs. Why? So that our physical immune system is strong. Similarly, I need to do something to, if I want my mind to be free from any kind of negativity, my emotional immune system has to be very, very strong. And to have a strong emotional immune system, I need a very strong emotional diet. And what does this mean to have a strong emotional diet? You know, I know if I need a proper diet, I need proteins, I need vitamins, I need carbs and this and that. And we have a nutritional diet for food. Similarly, for my mind, I need a nutritional diet. You can try it for a week or so, experiment with it. What is the information that I'm feeding it, my mind, throughout the day? What quality of information? What is it that's going in my mind? You know? Because the diet for mind is information. Now, what I do with the information is the next topic. But the raw material is information. If I listen to news a lot, if I'm listening to this a lot, whatever I'm listening, I might just think, oh, it's just a thought. It's just information. How does it affect me? But subconsciously, it leaves an impression. And somehow, when someone does something, that triggers that information and I react without even being aware that I'm reacting. So very, very important to understand that anywhere, if it's external negativity or if it's internal negativity, whatever it is, the root of negativity is pain. If I'm suffering from some kind of pain or someone else is suffering from some kind of pain. And the antidote for that is, you say the shield or you say protection, whatever. The antidote for it is awareness with compassion. Mm-hmm. Sympathy is not the solution. Empathy, yes. But more than that is compassion and awareness. And that's why it's been said that a clear, strong, radiant aura protects you from low vibrations, from negative vibrations. So if I want to protect myself from any kind of vibrations, any kind of negativity, internal or external, the prerequisite for it is to maintain a high vibrational attitude, to have that deeper understanding that I am the creator. I have a choice what I want to have in my mind. And for that, when I have this awareness, there's just few things that I need to know so that my life becomes sorted and very positive. Positive life does not mean that I'm positive, I'm happy, I'm great 24/7. No. Positive life means the power that I have, that I can transform negativity into positivity in seconds. Now, that's positive life. Negativity will be constant. We are all surrounded with negativity. Somebody's jealous of you. Somebody's trying to pull you down. You're feeling jealous about someone. Something is happening. We are constantly in the midst of negativity right now. But do I have the power to transform it instantly, to make it light, to make it positive, to make it fruitful? And you may say, how is that possible? I'll share you an experience, a true experience. I don't know if you got, most of you might not be knowing, but some of you might be knowing, there's a very famous personality, Eastern personality called Madan Mohan Malviya. He was an educational reformist, and there's lots of universities which have been created under his name in India. I'm quoting this because I come from India and I know the history of India, so I'm just sharing this and it might be helpful to all of you today. India was known for his education, for his treasure and his university, like Takshashila and Nalanda. They were the only university on this planet. And they were being destroyed because of all the political and all those issues. So this man one day thought about creating a university that could help people across the world. And because he was from a Hindu background and Hinduism was one which was in trend and most popular in India at that time, so he wanted to create that university which could promote the cultural knowledge of the country. And that time, India was under the invasions of the Mughals, the Nawabs. So he had this amazing plan, amazing structure ready. Blueprints were ready, everything was ready, the teachers were there, the professors, the scholars, the whole plan was ready. What was stopping him from having his dream come true was finance. He was short of finance. So he was trying to collect some donations from here and there so that this plan could come into practicality. What happened? Somebody suggested him. He said, "This plan is amazing. And we are sure it's a great step for humanity and it will bring good to so many people." And there's one Mughal, there's one Nawab. Nawab is like a royal king of Mughals who would help you without any condition and give you as much money as you want to create this university. So he said, "Fine. Why not? Let me go and approach the Nawab." He approaches the Nawab and he says, "This is the blueprint. This is what we are planning. This is the name of the university we want. And could you help us?" And when Nawab heard about all this, he said, "Why not? It's fantastic. I would definitely want to be a part of it. Take as much amount as you want. What is the amount you need from our treasure store? But Can I request you one thing? Because I'm financing that much, in fact, I'm financing the whole project. Can you change the name of the university? And whatever name you have decided, can that be replaced with my name? That was the small condition. And that time, Madan Mohan Malviya went within, had a moment of stability, composed and said, I am having this project for the upliftment of humanity, to show something good to the people, to create awareness, to educate them. I don't want to go into the trap of name and fame. If you could donate and help us selflessly, that would help in the vibrations of this project. And if you cannot, thank you so much. I respect your decision. And he could sense it that the Nawab was not ready to help without his name coming on the top front. So very politely, very respectfully, he stands up, closes all his files, says thank you, and starts to go away. Nawab stops him and he says, are you sure you don't want any money from me? And Madan Mohan Malviya says, no, I'm not here to sell my project. I'm here to take help, to work in partnership. And it was the Nawab in his mind created a feeling of, you can say, of insult, because he did not like the straightforwardness. He couldn't take it. His ego couldn't take it. And he said, how dare you talk to me like that? Please don't say this. It's not the right way to talk to a Nawab. Because of his ego, he could not digest a no from a normal common man. And he became furious. He became aggressive. He became strong. Here, Madan Mohan Malviya, again, calm, composed, and he said, sorry, I withdraw. And he started walking away. And seeing his rejection, that he came to take help and he's going without taking help, and again, this king is not feeling comfortable because he cannot handle the situation that someone is not bowing down to what he is proposing, and someone is strong on their own principles. So he tells him to wait, and because he had felt offended, because he felt insulted, he wanted to insult Madan Mohan Malviya. So what he does is he takes his royal shoe off from his leg and he just throws that shoe right to Madan Mohan Malviya to insult him. What would you feel in that position? How would you feel in someone in the big royal court? You're in the court, all the ministers and the kings and the wise men are there, and you've been insulted by a king, but someone throwing a shoe at you. How would you feel at that moment? Not very nice, right? You know what Madan Mohan Malviya did? Like a great cricketer, he just caught that shoe, kept it with him, and said, thank you. I came to ask money and you are giving me a shoe. Thank you for the honor. And he takes that shoe, quietly goes out of the courtroom, does not react, does not show any expressions, very calm, very composed, just like the hand that you saw in the beginning. The force was coming, his hand was stable, calm, peaceful. He goes. Next day morning in newspapers in Allahabad, I mean, that's the place where he came from, big newspapers that Nawab's royal shoe is in auction. Who would like to have that shoe, right? Now, he gave the shoe, he threw to him, so it belongs to Madan Mohan Malviya. He took the shoe, went and started auctioning. Now, a living Nawab, a living legend is there and his shoe is on auction. Everybody wanted to buy that shoe because it was fully loaded with gems and this and that. And when Nawab got to know about this, that his shoes is there for auction, he felt, no, that's not right. I'm still alive. How can somebody else have my shoe? And how can that be an auction? He says, go and buy that shoe. Now, because the demand of that shoe became so high that the ministers had to pay three times more the amount that what Madan Mohan Malviya had asked initially just to buy that shoe. finally they bought that shoe. The shoe went back to the Nawab, but Madan Mohan Malviyaji got 3 times more the money he wanted, he desired for. So negativity was coming. He kept his calm. Now he could have created 1,000 possibilities, 1,000 thoughts, for what he chose to be himself, to be with his principle. And that any one of us can do. It's not difficult. Any one of us can do. It just requires a bit of practice and awareness. And just 3 things. One is awareness, that it's in my control, how my mind thinks. Nobody else is responsible. Nobody else, nobody's tone, nobody's behavior, nobody's way of doing or not doing, no circumstances can actually go inside my head, create distress, unless I allow it to happen. And the second thing is, I have to take ownership of my decisions. I have to validate my strengths. We are very good at seeing things and seeing what's right, what's not right on an external level. But when it comes to our own strengths, how much do we validate that? How much do we acknowledge what I'm good at? How much do we do that? No? Like say, for example, if I asked you to think about your past, what will be the ratio? What is the first thing that comes in the mind? If I say happy moments, sad moments, moments with pain, moments with learnings, what is it that comes? You can check for yourself. Do I remember my life? When I look back, there are only happy moments? Or am I holding on to some grudges? Am I holding on to some experiences which made me feel uncomfortable, distressed, or made me feel negative? What is in my memory track? Yes, I'm not saying I've ignored all of them, but I'm saying that there are good things as well in our life. How much value do we give them? When something good happens, we say, okay, that's fine. When something not so good happens, we point a finger. It's a human nature. Can we change that equation? Even if it's the smallest thing, can we validate it? Can we acknowledge it? I'm not even talking about appreciating it, just acknowledging something that you've done right, something that person with you is doing right. You know? Because right things you'll never notice, but anything which is off track, even once, that comes to our notice straight away. Now, if everything is clean, you won't notice. But if something is kept somewhere which strikes out, you'll notice instantly. So we have to cultivate this habit of validating our own strengths, our own goodness, and acknowledging our weaknesses as well. You know, not just strength, but weaknesses, because that weaknesses opens the windows for negativity to come. So if there is awareness of both, I know my weaknesses, I know my strengths, then I create that equation that can maintain balance within myself. No matter what people think about me, no matter how they perceive me, it's their business. It's their mind, it's not my mind. So I have to take ownership of just my mind. But I am responsible for keeping my mind clean. And you know what the beauty of it is? When my mind is clean, when my heart is pure, everyone who comes in my connection or in our connection will feel that vibrations, and it will help them grow as well. But sometimes if I am carrying that baggage, even in my communication, you know, you see in communication, when we communicate, we want to say something, but the message does not go across because there's something that I'm carrying with me about someone or about something while I'm communicating with someone. And if I'm having all these things with me in my communication, the vibrations and the words don't match. And when the vibration and the words don't match, there's a conflict. The message is not that clear. Even I can't perceive a right message, or I can't give a right message. The communication is affected. So, yes, healthy boundaries, validating your strengths, acknowledging your weakness, having that awareness that this is my own responsibility and I have the complete control, power and choice of what I want to create here. And keep washing your mind every 20 seconds with this self-awareness. We have a beautiful practice that we practice in the university, in Brahma Kumari's organization, in all our centers across the world. It's something called traffic control. Every hour, for a few seconds, we take a pause and we connect. You know, it's like allowing that beautiful energy of positivity to just flow and just be there in that space. And it acts like shield, which creates a cocoon of positive aura around us that takes us going, makes us going for another hour. So these are a few tips that you can practice throughout the day, and you can even think about it. And I would just like to stop here, and if anybody has any questions, Mark, please feel free to ask.
Well, I have one.
Okay, Mark.
Can you repeat the name of that Indian fellow who the story was based on? Is Madan?
And I'll put it Madan Mohan Malviya.
How do you spell it? Madan?
Mohan, M-O-H-A-N, Malviya, M-A-V-I-L-A.
B-A-L-I.
I'll text you, Mark.
No, I'm going to type it in for everyone, you see.
Okay.
Ask, I'm sure. Okay. M-A-B.
Can I just type in the chat,
Miss? Type it in, yeah, to address it to everyone.
Mark, it's M-A-L, Malviya.
Malviya, right.
Madan Mohan Malviya.
Oh, very good. Someone's done it. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so... No questions?
Yes, can we have it back? It went off before I could write it down.
So what you can do is unmute yourself now. You're free to unmute. Just be aware to undo it one at a time.
Or maybe you can... raise your hands.
I think it's very clear.
Okay. Great. Myra, any questions do you have?
Okay, Nidhi, okay. It's Chandra Jain.
Hi, Chandra. Tell me how can I help.
From your own experience, you obviously have been practicing from childhood. How do you maintain that perspective constantly? Because we have this perspective for a short duration and then we are down into the world in the conventional way. And before we realize, we have been living that life for a few days or a few weeks till a reminder comes. So what would you suggest? Which is it, putting a note on the wall or some other means where you are aware of watching yourself, being aware of what's going and speaking yourself?
Thank you, Chandra, for the question. And I would say the easiest thing is to love yourself. If you want to protect yourself from any negativity, is to love yourself the way you are, who you are. Just be comfortable with yourself, no matter what people think, no matter what people say. Even in the world out there, what is really important is there has to be an alignment, you know. I know you might be thinking that I am in this organizations and practicing spirituality from childhood, but I'm very much in the world as you are. There's no difference as such, just that I'm staying in this complex, but I'm there out in the world as well and meeting thousands of people and hundreds of projects and stuff like that. There's the same lifestyle that you are practicing, but just different principles, I may say. And what is really important to understand is, am I aligned with my own principles? I have to keep that awareness. And as I started the session in the beginning, that whenever I feel a feeling of discomfort within me, it's an indication that negativity is being born, any kind of. And that moment, it's a child, it's still in an infant stage, I need to take care of it right at that moment. It just requires constant attention. And the moment I am aware that, yes, something is not right, I need to change, I need to shift, do it straight that time. Don't allow it to grow. Because if I allow it to grow, you know, it's like when a child is small, you teach them, do this, do that, because you don't want them to create a wrong habit. And once the habit is created, then it will become difficult to change. But when it's just in its infant stage, when it's in the weakest stage, let me change that. And what helps me personally is about, we have a spiritual session every morning, every day. And I did mention about what food, what emotional diet am I taking in? And having that emotional diet, that spiritual intake right the first thing in the morning, I am creating a foundation for my whole day. I know exactly, like say for example, if you're going away, so every morning I dress up in my mind. This is what I want to be. I want to be happy today no matter what. So say for example, if I've dressed up in a black dress and I'm going out and it starts raining, I'm still wearing black, irrespective of it's sunny, it's raining, it's cloudy, it's gloomy, it's foggy, whatever the atmosphere out there is there, my dress is the same. Similarly, if I have worn the dress of a virtue, of spirituality, of something good, I've created that dress within myself, no matter if the situation outside is sunny, foggy, whatever, I still am there in that dress. So it takes practice, but it also takes awareness. And once you've tasted that, it just needs 1 day of practice, trust me. And once you see the benefit, it becomes easy. If you want to change something, just see the benefit that you get in just 10, 20 minutes, and life will become easy for you. It's easy to flip things because you'll feel comfortable. If you don't flip things, you'll feel miserable. So then you have a choice. And there is a question in did I answer that?
Thanks a lot. Brilliantly explained. Thank you.
Thanks, Chandra. And there is a question here which says, could you please expand on the point of healthy boundaries? Oh, very interesting. Thank you for bringing that up. Boundaries, very, very important. Remember I talked about that salt that my mom used to tell me to just put around so that the ants don't come in. Automatic negative thoughts, those ends, to protect myself from those ends, I need boundaries. And those boundaries have to be based on virtues, have to be based on authenticity, has to be based on a right space, a space of not protecting just myself, but a space which is healthier for both. I need to see that, is there a need for me to give in? Because I had this, I'll share my own experience. Few years back, I had this, you can say a nature, or I wasn't even aware of it, that I used to give in. You know, somebody said something, okay, let's do it, you know? Positive, yes, but also sometimes you get carried away by people's emotions, by people's negativity, they cling to you, whatever it is. And then I realized that it's not only harming me, but it's harming them. And they don't realize it because it becomes comfortable. And at that moment, create boundaries from the right space. It might be uncomfortable on the outset, but it will bring comfort and strength to both. So boundaries are very much important, not to limit myself, but for my growth. I remember as a child, I used to observe on the streets, you know, they used to plant, again, I'm quoting something that I've seen in India, that they used to, on the roadside, they used to plant these huge trees, and then they would create a shield around it, a steel iron shield that no animal or nothing can eat those tender, gentle leaves of the plant. And after some time, the boundary would disappear. So similarly, sometimes we need to either withdraw or we need to create that boundaries so that we can grow, we can be stronger. And once we grow and we are stronger, then we don't need those boundaries. There are also phases, you know, there are phases where you need those boundaries, and now you know that you don't need protection, you're strong enough to handle those things. So there, we have to, you know, there is one side, there is knowledge, on one hand there is wisdom, and in between there's understanding. So there has, we have to create that understanding when to create and when to withdraw. And then that would help in all our relationships, everything, right? Is that clear?
We can presume it is.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, Micheline.
I would like to know, you said the roots of negativity is the pain. So you have different kind of negativity. What about the one who stuck, like childhood trauma? What is the antidote?
Love. Self-love. Because trauma comes from a space of ignorance. When I'm not grounded as a child, I don't know what to do. I'm not equipped. I'm tender. And things have just bombarded on me and I'm confused, you know? And in that phase, I'm just creating things, just whatever is coming, whatever I'm acquiring or whatever I'm picking up. I might create things of low self-worth or low self-esteem, or there's no worth. You know, I've faced so much in my childhood, maybe abuse, maybe trauma, maybe death of someone, and I have created a false impression because that was truth for me at that time, right? Mm-hmm. And I have created, and I'm now, at that time I was ignorant, at that time I was naive, at that time I didn't know what to do, and I've just created it. It's there. Right? But now I've grown up. Now I have understood. Now can I see it as a third person and see what exactly had happened and what I have created? And okay, I had created that because that was the best I could do to protect myself. You know, even anger or even any negative emotion that I create is actually to protect myself from something that I don't want, right? So okay. As a child, I created that to protect myself. But now I've grown up. And I was like that small plant that need protection. But now I've grown up. Now I know that I have that understanding that do I really need to hold on to what I had created as a child? Or can I now with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and experience see the truth and shift the understanding that I had created? Mm-hmm. And when there is that reconciliation within myself, you know, Patrice, I think you or somebody just said and said in the beginning that when ants come, you talk to them and you tell them, you respect that, and then you tell them to respect your own space. Same way. As a child, I created something that was the best I knew, I respect it. But as an adult, I can recreate something that can respect my present, not my past, right?
Yes.
So that will allow me to disengage and to grow up from that, not going through, because if I hold on to that even today, I'm still in that pain. I'm still suffering somewhere deep down. So let me grow through it, not go through it. Right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrice.
Oh, hi there. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah. My name is Shalinda. I'd just like to sort of share something with you. It's like, you know, my mum, she's quite old fashioned, and I don't know whether she's put things in my head when I was a child, and I don't know whether they're myths or whether they're negative thoughts. It's like things like, if a black dog's out there, you know, you'll get good luck. And if your right eye's twitching or your left eye's twitching, it's bad luck if one or the other. And it, I don't know whether she's put myths in my head or whether she's put, like, it's just negative, like, you know, things. It's like, you know, she'd say things like, say, you know, like if you see two birds have the same nature and they're the same in your garden, then you get good luck. But if you see one, then you'll get bad luck. But like, if a cat walks this way or that way, poses your, you know, you're going to get bad luck. You know, when you're driving and then a cat walks one way or another, it's good or bad luck. And it could be loads of things like this that she's, you know, telling me. And I get like, is this true? And I get very like, I don't know whether negative thoughts or whether they're just myths, like, you know, she's very sort of like in the old ways. But sometimes it does actually really trigger my, you know, my thoughts, and I get upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to do.
Ask a question to yourself. What have you put in your mind? Not what your mom has put in your mind. No. It's very important, again, like, to acknowledge things, information, lots of information, lots of myths, lots of superstitions, lot of truth comes to us, because there's a wonderful teaching that we get here in the Raja Yoga meditation and Brahma Kumaris, is that each one role is unique and different. Each one's karma is unique and different. And each one of us is unique and different. What's right for me may not be right for you. And what's fantastic for you can just ruin my life completely because it does not suit me because of my personality or my the way I am, basically. And for that, I have to understand what's right for me. If this is making me upset, then at the first place, it's not right for me. I don't even need to bother about it because it's taking away my peace of mind in that very moment, in that now moment. Do I want to let go of my peace, or do I want to be peaceful? What am I creating in that moment? It all begins with my thoughts. So yes, sometimes if I am going to create this thought that if I see a black cat or whatever is going to bring me good luck, it will bring me good luck because I'm creating that energy again and again, again and again, again and again. And if I'm going to create that energy that it's going to bring me bad luck, it's going to bring me bad luck. See, I'm creating it, no? There's a vibration that's happening. You know, that vibrations, I'm creating that bubble of vibrations just through my thoughts. Now that bubble is going to travel. It's not the cat, it's not the birds, it's not my eyes, but it's the bubble that I'm creating through my thoughts that's going to bring a bad luck or a good luck or positivity or negativity. So be aware of what are you creating, what vibrations bubble you're creating around you. That's going to bring whatever you want in your life.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome.
Perhaps maybe now you'd like to steer us in a little meditation to finish off with.
Yep. So thank you, everyone. And I would just request all of you to just have that silent space within yourself. And in this moment, just allow your inner positivity, because knowing the universal truth that we all are innately positive, each one of us individually, positivity exists. Everything is positive. So let us step into that positivity. And create this awareness of my own truth, of being a positive energy. together, let's create a wonderful bubble of wisdom, positivity, gentleness, and stability. And in this silence, let me discover my own self. In this tranquility, the natural feeling that I'm experiencing is my own truth, is the real me. And I just allow myself to be in the space of truth. And now, let's invoke the highest energy, the source of positivity, and visualize that there is a constant force, the flow of positivity around you. And it's become like a cocoon protecting you from all sorts of negativity. Let's connect to that higher source of perfection, the source of abundance, source of truth, and the more I am in the influence of this source, I'm ever protected. Thank you, Mark.
Very beautiful sharing, guidance, and very beautifully answered so many of the questions as well. And very lovely articulation of that story. That was quite fascinating. So if anyone throws a shoe at me, I'll just see if it's a royal personage shoe and auction it. A very lovely story. So I think we've really good ideas of how to deal with negativity. And a couple of the things which thought particularly I liked your ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah, I like them too. It makes me aware, you know, like they're coming. Caution.
We had a whole invasion just a few days ago. Absorb or absorb. I like that one. Observe or absorb. I like that one too. Many things. Thank you so much for sharing with us and so sweetly and really with such depth as well. So on behalf of everyone, thank you very much. And before everyone goes, just to let you know, next week's talk is Why Do We Become Moody? So a natural follow-on So if you've got any negativity left and you finished most of it, then Why Do We Become Moody is going to be shared with Sarah Kavanagh, who's a teacher by profession, lives up in Newcastle. So we will Zoom her in for next Sunday. And also, please look at the website for updates. There's a new Rajoga course starting, and very shortly a Overcoming Anger course starting. So regularly there's more things going on. So thank you all for joining.
Thank you everyone for listening. You're very good listeners.
Maybe everyone can, if everyone wants to turn on their camera at the end and just give a wave to Nidhi, that would be very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Nidhi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to see you all.
All right. Oh, there's people from all over. Very good.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you. Oh, just the recording will be up on the website. The audio recording will go up there first of all. Anyway, that will be on there later tonight under the title of the talk. See you all next week or beforehand. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.